Well, Thanksgiving Day has passed, and I hope you all had a wonderful time with your families and friends and spent some time thinking about all that you're grateful for, that the Lord has blessed you with. And the Lord certainly has blessed this parish with you, each of you, because you're all beacons of light of Christ in this world. And the future of this parish is bright, and I'm very convinced of that after being here for almost a year. The love of God is very real here, and that means an awful lot to each of us who form a community of faithful people. It also means a lot to those who are lost and live in darkness and despair, for it is us that take the light of Christ to them and give them an opportunity to connect with this church. None of us know what will happen later this afternoon or tomorrow. We only have some idea because of our experience of what happened to us last Sunday, or the Sunday before, or the many Sundays before that. We only have a sense of the future by experiencing the past, and especially by looking at how God has been revealed to us and revealed to the world through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit. We have a big year coming up as a community. We have initiated our own Jubilee next year, where we will take time out to reflect on the past history of this parish and look forward by setting a new course of faithful ministry of the love of Jesus Christ in this community. And I'm excited about what we might discover about ourselves and our community as these two initiatives unfold. The season of Advent marks the time of spiritual preparation before Christmas, and today is the first Sunday in Advent. The focus of the season is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a twofold meaning of this coming, one looking back and one looking forward, just like our own Jubilee initiatives. When the Church celebrates the liturgy of Advent each year, it makes present the ancient expectancy of the Messiah. And as we share in the long preparation for the Saviour's first coming, we renew our desire for his second coming. Therefore, on the one hand, we look back to reflect on and celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ as the incarnation of God, the Lord's first coming into the world. And on the other hand, we recall the ancient Nicene Creed, where it says that our Lord will come again to judge the living and the dead. You may have noticed in the lectionary readings for today that they focus more on the second aspect of Advent, the second coming of our Lord. It seems quite paradoxical that we would focus on the end times today, a day that marks the beginning of the liturgical year and a season where we prepare to remember the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. In the first reading from the prophet Isaiah, we have his vision of the coming of God's kingdom with his description of the mountain of the Lord's house, established as the highest of mountains. He talks of the desire of many nations and peoples to go to the mountain to learn the Lord's ways so that they may then walk in his paths. There God will sit to judge, will be the judge of the nations, and will arbitrate disputes, and will turn them from violence to peace. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. It's a wonderful vision of this constant work in progress that we are a part of. In Paul's letter to his friends in Rome, he reminds them that salvation is closer to them on that day than when the first believed. And it is for us too. Salvation for Paul has a past, present, and future dimension. Salvation is something that has happened through the life of Jesus Christ. It is something that is happening now through the body of the church, the body of Jesus Christ, and is something that is still to happen, something that we can't quite explain how it will come about. And this is how God works in the world, and we find ourselves living in the tension of the already and the not yet. Jesus Christ's voice resonates from the gospel reading this morning. His is a message to his followers of hopeful waiting for Jesus' return. In the days after Jesus ascended into heaven and left his followers, they firmly believed that the world would, that he would come again within a few years, or at least in their lifetime. In the early days of the church, this was the belief, but by the time the writer of Matthew put quill to parchment, some 50 years had passed since Jesus' ascension, And Matthew knew he needed to address the anxiety of the community that Jesus had not yet come. The reality was that the timing of Jesus' second coming was known only to God the Father. And Jesus clearly stated this fact to his disciples before his death. But in those times, his disciples were not attuned to the upcoming reality of the death of the man they believed to be the Messiah. After his ascension, the not knowing led the disciples to become skeptical and disheartened. And Paul and other ministers of the area of the time encouraged them to keep the faith as they waited for God's second coming. The Greek word for this period of last days is eschaton, and it's where we get the theological term eschatology. The eschaton was very real for the first century Christians, as I mentioned. But for us modern Christians, it may not be the same. For the writer of the Gospel that we heard this morning, the birth, ministry, death, resurrection of Jesus, and his second coming were all part of the one eschatological event. This means that the church is already living, and always will live, in this unfolding of the ages. In other words, we live in the end times, as they have already begun with the birth of Jesus Christ. So we live now in this in-between time. The already has passed, and the not yet is to come. The already is that the salvation of all people has been revealed in the life and ministry, death and resurrection of Jesus. And in the not yet, where the final act of the work of God in the world is still being written. The apocalyptic end of the world may not be something that we dwell on each and every day of our lives, but we know that some people do. Every now and again, we hear the report of a pastor who has some special insight and predicts that the end of the world will occur soon. We all wait with apprehension to see if it's true. These folks who make these predictions seem to have forgotten to read Matthew chapter 4, verse 36. For it's not for us to know the date and time of Jesus' second coming. Nevertheless, if you're like me, I'm relieved when the time passes and the apocalypse hasn't happened. In nearly all account of the end times, there is a separation of peoples, a sorting out at the time when we will have to give an account of our lives. The faithful are scooped up and taken into heaven, much like Elijah was, but the unfaithful are left behind, presumably to suffer each other's company for eternity. But Jesus turns this outlook on its head. By raising the image of Noah and the great flood, he illustrates that it's the unfaithful that are swept away and the faithful that are left on earth to continue the work that is needed to be done. After the flood, Noah and his family and the animals had work to do to repopulate the world. And so we too have work to do in furthering God's kingdom. God's call to be engaged in this work is God's gift to us. And it's a fulfilling of the words contained in the Lord's Prayer. We pray that God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So we have our part to play in that. None of us know this time Jesus will come. Therefore, the church, the body of Jesus Christ in the world today, continues to be active in places where God's love is needed, places where justice and equality are absent, where hunger and thirst abound, and where school children are injured and die due to gun violence. It is for us today as the body of Christ to go into the world and to find those dark places where we can help to shine the light of Christ so to soothe the souls of the troubled. So as we step out into this new season of Advent, we might reflect on the invitation God gives us to be his light in the world. He was our light in the world for so long, and now we are his light in the world. One day soon, the work of the church will be done, and the world will be full of God's light and love. That day is not for us to predict, but it is a day for us to work toward, for us to prepare for this is our Advent hope. Amen.